And then, okay, cool. All right. All right. We're here with Peter Bittmar today. And just a little bit about Peter. He is the highest scoring American gymnast in Olympic history. The first American who ever won an Olympic all-around gold medal, and with a perfect score of 10, captured the gold on the pommel horse. He's also the author of Risk, Originality, and Virtuosity, The Keys to a Perfect 10. And Peter, thanks for taking this interview.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And absolutely. You know, I'd just like to jump right into this. Can you tell me a little bit about your ROV principles and how a personal trainer that, you know, our personal trainers and boot camp instructors that are listening could use those principles
sure.
to grow their business?
Well, you know, it comes from the sport of gymnastics, but it's a really good application for businesses. And actually for, I mean, let's be honest, if you're running a boot camp, you're running a business.
Absolutely.
And so I finished my career at the 84 Olympic Games. I was asked to speak at corporate events. And the very first meeting I ever spoke at was for a very large multinational company, and the theme of the meeting was called Adding a New Dimension. And that was they put me kind of at the end of the 3-day conference, and they wanted me to listen to all the other business speakers and see if I could find something applicable through my life in sports. And every time I listen to these guys, I think, oh, that happens in my sport all the time. Or they talk about innovation and creativity. Oh, that happens in my sport all the time. Or they talk about, you know, taking risks. And I go, well, that happens all the time. In fact, you know what? There's a whole judging category of gymnastics that ties right into that. And in a nutshell, if you perform your routine perfectly in gymnastics and fulfill all of your difficulty requirements, the highest score you can get was only about a 9.4. And the last 6/10 of a point to get you from the 9.4 to the perfect 10 was through fulfilling a final category called ROV, and it stood for Risk, Originality, and Virtuosity. So I get 2 extra tenths of a point for doing something that's considered risky, 2/10 of a point for being innovative or creative, and then 2/10 of a point for showing great virtuosity. And by fulfilling that, you'd be able to score that perfect 10. And it's turned out to be a great business topic. Everybody has to understand what it means to take a risk, to take chances. Now, if you're going to take real risks in life, you're going to make mistakes. Chances are you're going to fall on your face. An athlete's going to fall off the pommel horse or the rings if you're going to go for those big skills. And that's okay so long as we learn from our mistakes. And yet the learning moments can be painful ones. And for me, I talked to the audiences about falling off the horizontal bar at the World Championships when the gold medal was on the line. It was my chance to become a world champion, and it was devastating. But from that mistake, I made this commitment to never take that skill for granted that I blew it on, and to train much harder on that skill so that 6 months later at the Olympic Games, I scored a 10 on the horizontal bar.
Wow.
And had I not made that mistake, I probably would not have been focused on what I needed to really pay attention to score a perfect 10. And so I'm really glad I made the mistake. And I use those examples to a corporate audience. And then, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to try something. But you got to push the envelope and find out what it is that you can do that that stretches yourself. And it's something you tell your clients when you're training them. Originality is the innovation part of my sport. You've got to innovate in gymnastics. The judges demand that you do something new. And the problem with my sport is that, you know, when you're trying something and no one else has ever done before, you always got to stop and ask yourself, hey, why is no one else trying this? And you think maybe they have, but they haven't survived. You know, so I talk about innovation and creativity and how the key to that is, in my sport, stop watching the other guy. Stop watching the competition. Stop watching everybody else. Do
Absolutely.
Things on your own that you know are going to make a difference. And for wow. us in my sport, that meant that we had to stop playing the game called catch-up, where you'd go to a gymnastics event. You'd see a great gymnast from China or Russia do something that you'd never seen before. And you'd say, well, why didn't I think of that? And you run back to the gym the next week, and you learn it sometimes right away. And you say, it wasn't even that hard. And so you come back to the next event thinking you're pretty hot, and only to find out that that guy's doing something else that's even more new and innovative. And you go, well, look at that. Well, why didn't I think of that? And you come back and learn it again. But it's always too late. One of the reasons why our team stopped, or really won the gold medal at the Olympic Games, was we all stopped playing catch-up. We did things on our own that were unique and original. I describe that to the audiences that I speak to. The final category is called virtuosity, and virtuosity means that you do something maybe that everybody else does, but you do it better. And that really, I think, from a business standpoint, goes to customer service. You might be providing that same basic activity or that same, you know, general workout for your clients, but you do it better. They say, hey, look, I've done that before. I've done these things before, but not like that. I like the way he does that. I like the way she does that. That makes a difference to me. And having that extra touch of doing something that maybe everybody else does, but doing it better. And the key to that, at least in a sport like mine, is the unglamorous stuff of life, and that's doing things over and over again. It's the only way you're going to perfect what you do, is by doing things over and over and over again. Repetition creates quality. It's not fun. It's boring. It's monotonous. But if you can figure out a way to make your daily routine fun or exciting, to be good every day, then you're approaching this category we call virtuosity. And so for me, it meant doing lots of routines over and over and over again in the gym, trying to figure out ways to keep that motivation when you're beat and you're tired and you're exhausted and you want to go home and the last thing you want to do is be in the gym. I just tried to, try to visualize why I was there. What are the goals? Yeah, and are they worth working for? So in a nutshell, that's ROV. Risk, originality, virtuosity. And in my life, that's the keys to a perfect 10.
That resonates with me so well. It's funny, I've thought those thoughts, but I've never put it in the way you just put it beautifully. I think that is so powerful how you just explained it. In fact, would you agree that most of the most successful people also probably made the most mistakes?
Absolutely. I think so. In fact, the problem is that when you make mistakes, you kind of want to give up. It's kind of defeating when you face a setback or a hardship. And I kind of like, to me, it's kind of like the analogy of climbing a mountain in the fog. You know, you don't know where the peak is, and you keep going and keep going. You think, oh, this isn't working for me. I'm never going to get to the top. Oh, man. And then all of a sudden, you decide to turn around. And you turn around, and then all of a sudden, and you're all the way down the mountain, and the fog lifts, and you see your footprints and realize that you're only 10 feet from the top. And I think so often we tend to give up right before that tipping point that would have given us the success that we were looking for. In other words, you just don't give up. You just keep plugging away. And then all of a sudden, if you do that, you might find yourself, finally reaching that point where, wait a second, I finally made it to the top. I didn't realize it. And we never know. If we constantly kind of give up right when we think it's no use.
I've experienced that many times, where you're right about to, like, oh my God, I don't know, and you don't even realize right around the corner there's the finish line.
Yeah, or it's a great opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah. When you say stop watching the other guy, I think that's another thing that I really resonate with, like in the personal fitness industry. I know, for instance, selling packages of training, 6 sessions, 12 sessions, mm-hmm. was like everyone was copying the other guy that was doing that.
Yeah.
And I know we started doing auto debit, electronic funds transfer.
Right.
And that was a big breakthrough in the industry. And I think the same thing is, like, you just got to stop watching everyone else and definitely recreate things yourself.
Or look at people that are experts in some other field, businesses, and say, well, maybe this could be replicated in the personal training industry.
Absolutely.
And because there are, let's be honest, there are other industries that are much bigger than personal fitness training. They're huge multi-billion-dollar operations, and they really pay attention to what brings in new business. They know what works. And if we can kind of replicate things in other industries, then that might help you kind of think outside the box. And that's important. That's the innovation part. That's originality.
Absolutely. No, all this stuff resonates. Just, it makes perfect sense what you're saying. What are you doing? I really wanted to ask you this. What are you doing right now that is causing you the most success in your life? What would you say you're doing right now?
Well, you have to define success too. I mean,
Great.
I think that when I was a gymnast, my goal was to be the best gymnast I could be. And if I played my cards right, if I did everything right, maybe I could be the best gymnast in the world.
I
mean, I knew who the competition was, and I respected the competition. I knew how good the best Chinese gymnasts were, the best Soviet gymnasts were, the best Japanese gymnasts were, and I knew what my standard was just by looking across the gym at the world championships. And so, certainly there's a lot of work. And I had a terrific coach who was an Olympian himself, who was an amazing motivator, and he was by my side from age 11 to age 23. And he would, he would help me to dream big dreams and to set really high standards for myself, to the point that a few months before the Olympics, he just looked at me in the eyes and says, I think you can win the Olympic gold medal in the all-around. I really think you can do it. And that was a pretty bold statement. I thought, wow. And I, you know, I had to start believing that, believing him. I ended up with the silver. I missed the gold by 25 one-thousandths of a point, but I knew I was in the hunt for the gold medal for the whole Olympic Games.
Did you find that having someone that you really respected, like a role model or a coach that believed in you, really helped you?
Oh, it would have been impossible without it. It would have been impossible without him by my side. I can't repay him for all he did for me. He made tremendous personal sacrifices for me. But, you know, he helped me to realize that maybe I could be that level. And so that's what I set my sights on. Well, you know, what will it take to maybe be the best in the world? And so to do that, though, let's be honest, everything else has to take a back seat. I mean, you're training for the Olympic gold medal. That meant that, you know, I mean, I went to school. I went to UCLA, but I studied. But I trained every morning. I trained. I'd rather skip class than skip a workout.
Right.
And so I really, really focused on my training. But life's different now. You know, I'm married. I have 5 children.
Right.
I have to balance my life. And so I don't have the desire to be the greatest professional speaker that's ever walked the planet. I never will be. I'm not. I don't have the best business in the world. But I make a comfortable living and supporting my family. I love it. But I have a lot of time with my kids. You know, I've been to all their sporting events, all their wrestling matches, their gymnastics competitions, their track meets, their, you know, all the scout camps when my boys were scouts. I went on the scout. I missed only one scout camp with all 3 sons, and they all got their Eagle Scouts. You know, I got into that part of life, and that's where I find joy. And that means that I find balance in my life. I find balance, and that's what I look for. I don't have this compelling drive to say I have to be the best in this. If that's the case, then other things will have to take a backseat, including relationships, and life's not worth that.
Right, right. Absolutely, especially now with kids and
right
and a family.
So now I continue to do what I do. I love what I do. I love the work, but I've also been able to, you know, I've got 2 left at home, and they're very active athletes. And I've tried to. My daughter's got a big gymnastics meet this Saturday. I'll be at that. And my daughter's in between cross country and track and field season, so I don't have a lot of track meets to go to now, but I will in a couple months, and I'll be at all of those. And so, but I've been able to have a life that's provided me those opportunities because I really worked hard at the speaking business after the Olympics. So
let me ask you 2 questions. I'm glad that you defined what success is. That's
and let me just, not to interrupt you, but I one other aspect of success is to me is being fit and healthy. That's why I love going to your class because I thought, wow, I haven't been sore in those places since I was a gymnast. You know, because I was doing exercises I'm a runner, I'm a cyclist. I do a lot of push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, and I swing paddle oars. I do presses to handstands, and I'm really fit to do those things. But it's great to kind of shock your body and do different exercises and realize, you know what, I could be more fit in this area and that area. So that's why I enjoyed about your class.
Oh, I got Peter Vidmar sore. That's going to be one of my claims to fame right there.
So. Fitness is a part of my quality of life. You know, it's not worth it for me to work 1,000,000 hours and then wake up someday realizing that I've got, heart disease, or I've got high cholesterol, or I've got health issues that really reduce my quality of life. I don't want that, and I will never go that way.
So. Now, personally for me, you know, having I got a 3.5-year-old daughter and a 1.5-year-old daughter and a wife, and you know, so I'm in a new thing in my life, and I really want to know, how do you do it? What is your advice to get that balance and still push forward and
right.
grow yeah, well, different areas?
I think it's really important to plan. You need to have some sort of system, some sort of tool that you use to keep your life organized. I used to be a consultant, actually, with what is now the Franklin Covey Organization.
Okay.
I used to teach the Franklin time management training
wow.
systems uh-huh. and their stress management seminars. I used to teach those. And along with that, this is before the ages of Palm Pilots and, you know, and the computer age, but I always carry a Franklin day planner with me. And you know what? I still do. I went back to it. I used to have my other little Palm device, but I found that I like to write things down. And it's really important to plan. You need to have a time set aside, I believe, maybe every Sunday night before your work week starts, and plan out your entire week. You know, where are my appointments? When am I going to exercise? When am I going to, you know, when am I going to do this? When am I going to do my marketing? When am I going to do, you know, this task and that task? And because my family's important to me, when am I going to say, you know what, this is the time with my children, no compromises. This is the time with my wife, no compromises. And I sit down with my wife and plan out things. So we know we're on the same page when it comes to scheduling things. I know when all my kids' events are. So maybe once a week do that. But then every single day, I plan the day. So I sit down and I write down everything I like to do that day. Everything I like to do. Not in order of importance, just everything you want to do. Okay, what are the A's? What has to be done today? What's vital? Write down all the A's. Okay, what are the B's? What should I do when I get around to it? Those are the B's. What are the C's? The things that are the quick, fun, and easy ones that usually we end up getting done first.
Right.
Because they're more fun.
You feel like you got to cross those.
Yeah. Meaning if I get those, if I get around to it, what would I like to spend my time doing? Those are the C's. Okay, now let's go back to the A's. Of all the A's, what's the most important thing? That's A1. What's the next most? A2, A3, A4. The B's, B1, B2, B3, B4. C's, C1, C2, C3. Next thing you know, you've just mapped out the order of your day to accomplishing your tasks. That takes 5 minutes a day.
Wow.
And if you start your day with a plan like that, you'll find that you're crossing off those things. And let's say A3 is call Bob about this program. And you call him, Bob's not there. Well, I can't check it off because I didn't get Bob, but I still got to talk to him. So instead of checking it off, I put a little dot right there. And that little dot means, okay, it's in progress, but I got to get to it before the end of the day.
Right.
So then later on in the day, I never got a hold of Bob. I'm going to call me, oh, I got a hold of Bob. Or you call and Bob's out of town. Oh, I can't talk until Thursday. Okay, well, then you go to Thursday's day and write that down for Thursday. Call Bob. And then you forget about Bob for 4 days. And then when you get to your page for Thursday, oh, yeah, I got to call Bob. And all of a sudden, what is he? Is he A3? No, maybe he's A2 or he's A1. You know what I mean? And so you have a system so that you're always keeping track of the things that you got to do. And right. And so by having that kind of an organization, and it doesn't take any time. People say, well, that I got to be free to think of things. I can't have a structure like that. You know what? It's not really, it's there for you. You've got in writing everything that you want to do. And so then when the fires come that you got to put out that you didn't expect, it's okay because you won't forget the things that you really also need to do that are on your list because the list is always there for you. And so it really is important to have that kind of an organization and structure. And then the things that you really value in life, your relationships, your friends, your spouse, your children, they're on your list. They're the A's. They're the B's. For things that are kind of important. And some of those are the vital ones. And then you get to it from there. So,
oops.
Are we in the middle of recording?
That's okay.
You can edit.
I can edit that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No worries. Oh yeah, he has a thing there. I need to see it.
He's got a flip.
When do I? It says loading satellites for forever.
Oh, really? Stand outside.
I did, and then once you're done with that, do you just push start? I mean, does she just push start and go?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
But you got to reset. You got to reset your old workout. So go to push, hold that reset button. Hold
on. Yeah, but it's still loading satellites, taking forever.
Yeah, well, go stand out in the middle there.
All right. Okay.
This is a really cool thing.
Hi, doggy.
That's what I got it for Christmas. So.
Yeah.
That's my daughter too. She's actually being recruited. She's going to hopefully run track at BYU.
Oh, that's awesome.
She won't be a star or anything like that. But she runs a little over 5 minute mile. So
that's great.
Yeah, she's pretty quick. So
yeah,
fun. She loves to run. So anyways, all right. So that was so I guess the bottom line is you have a plan. You got a plan. You got to have a plan. So.
And I really like this is just personally. And I'm sure like a lot of our listeners they don't have kids, but for me that's the biggest challenge. I mean, gosh, growing the businesses, honestly, that stuff's easy compared to making sure you're spending that quality time with the family.
Right.
I mean, which is the most important.
It sounds impersonal to structure in and schedule a date with your wife or time with your children. But you know what? It's not. It shows that it's a priority in your life. You make it a priority.